Welcome to Rambam on the Line, a project of Sichas in English. Today's chapter from the Rambam's Mishnah Torah is the sixth chapter of Hilchas Ovel, the Laws of Mourning. This perek discusses further various mourning practices, and it contains 13 halachas. Perek Shishi, the sixth chapter, halacha Aleph. After discussing the practices of Shiva of the 7 days in the previous perek, the Rambam now discusses the Shleishim. Halacha Aleph. In Divrei Seifrim, it is a rabbinic law, Sheyeha Avol Neig B'Miktzas Divrei Avelos Kol Shleishim Yeim, that the mourner observe various mourning practices for the entire Shleishim, the 30 days after the burial. Uminayim Tzomcho Chachamim L'Shleishim Yeim, and where did the sages pick out this idea of 30? Where did they see an idea of 30 days of mourning in the scriptures? Shenemar, it says in Dvorim Chof Aleph, part of Yud Gimel, in discussing the Eishes Yefas Tzayas, who is going to give up a mother and father and eventually convert to Judaism, it says, Uvochtet Aviyah V'yaz Ima Yerach Yamin, that she shall cry for her father and mother for a month of days. Michlal, this implies Sha'avu Mitztayer Kol Shleishim Yayim, that the pain felt by a mourner, it lasts for 30 days. This is why she is lasting for 30, and therefore they see that there is a 30-day time period as far as the Velus is concerned. Halacha Beis, Ve'ilu Dvarim Sha'avu Asr Behem Kol Shleishim Yayim, and the following are all matters that the mourner is prohibited for the entire 30 days. The Rambam lists 5 things. Also the tispeda, to get a haircut, ube giyut, ironing the clothing, ube nesuyin, getting married, ube simchas mereyus, and rejoicing with his friends, such as a meal specially made with his friends and loved ones for the purpose of rejoicing, the leilach bescheira mi medina le medina, and travel from one place to another, one city to another, in order to do business. Hapol chamesha dvorim. In total, 5 things, which the Rambam will now proceed to explain one by one. Halacha Gimel. The Tispedes Ketzad. What exactly is the prohibition on getting a haircut? Kishem sha'atru asaper kol sar gufe. Just as it is prohibited from cutting any hair on the body, oy legaleach sfame, or to shave his mustache, oy lakut siporno bekli kol shiva, or to cut his nails using an implement, all the days of Shiva, as the Rambam explained previously in Perekei Halacha Beis. So, Kach Azer Kol Shleishim Yayim. The same prohibition applies for all 30. Why then does the Rambam mention separately the prohibition of Shiva and the prohibition of Shleishim? Because Bamed, Vorim Amurim, and where do we say that it's the same? The Shiva and the Shleishim, the Ish, by a man, Abu Deisha, but by a woman, Muteris, the Natila Sa'ar, La'achar Shiva. A woman is permitted to cut her hair after the 7 days has passed. So Aisha Shleishim Yem, and the man must wait until 30 days. While all these, Va'al Imeib, and for his mother and father, Chayiv L'Gadil Sayre Ash Yeshalach Pera, he is required to grow his hair until his hair becomes extremely long, or until his friends scream at him and complain that his hair is grown too long. Incidentally, the gist of the Radvaz is that instead of the oy, it should be a vav. In other words, putting the two together until his hair gets so long that his friends complain to him that his hair is too long. But before that time comes, then he is not allowed to cut his hair. But Amar, in Shulchan Aruch, gives the general rule of the shir of the Yigro Bay as being 3 months. But he mentions also that in his country, the custom was that on a mother and father, one would allow the hair to grow for 12 entire months, unless there was unusual circumstances that the person had to go among the non-Jews, or the person's hair grew extremely long, or something of the sort. But in extenuating circumstances, it could be cut earlier. Halacha Dalet. The Kain Asr Lilbash Kalim Levonim Chadoshim Umugorotim. So too it is prohibited to put on clothing which is white, new, and ironed. All 3 conditions being present, Kol Shleishim Yayim, all the 30 days of mourning. Echad Ish Ve'echad Isha, whether man or woman. However, all 3 of these conditions must be present in order to have a prohibition. Let's say the first condition, that they are white, is missing. It was something colored, a colored garment which was ironed. Mutarim, then it's allowed. the cane. And so too, if the second condition was missing, they were not brand new. Even though they are white and iron, they are also allowed. Linen clothing has no prohibition of ironing. Various explanations are given, such as that of the Rosh, who says that since these garments are usually worn right next to the flesh, it's sort of as an undershirt or something of the sort, that's where the linen garments are usually worn. So since they are like an undershirt, people are not careful to iron them very well, and therefore there is no such prohibition. This is only for the first 30 days. La'achar shleishim yeim muter begiut afilu al aviv va'al imei. After 30 days, one is allowed to iron even for one's mother and one's father. There is no prohibition of wearing iron clothing. Halacha hei, the nesuyin ketzad. What exactly is the prohibition on marriage relating to shleishim? We must briefly review here the two stages of marriage according to Jewish law, the Eirusin and the Nesuyin. The Eirusin is sometimes translated as engagement, what we call Kiddushin. Although it is fully binding in Jewish law that even though there has not yet been the chuppah, nevertheless, in order to break such a relationship, there would have to be a divorce. The actual complete marriage took place in a Talmudic time, 12 months apart, there would be the Eidusin, and 12 months later, the Nisuyin completing the marriage. Today, this is all done under the chuppah, both stages of Eidusin and Nisuyin. So what here is the prohibition? Also, the Lisa Isha Kol Shleishim Yein. The Nisuyin is prohibited all 30 days of mourning. However, Umutul Orsa Afilu B'Yema Misa. It is permitted to be Ma'aretzer, the engagement, so to speak, even on the very day of death. That in order to make sure that someone else doesn't come and marry her first, the sages allowed him to marry her even on that day. Well, Misha Mesa Ishte, someone whose wife passed away. So we look for three conditions which will determine whether we allow him to marry immediately or not. If he already fulfilled the mitzvah to be fruitful and multiply, which according to the halacha is having one son and one daughter, and second of all, the Yeshua Misha Yesham Shenu, and he has someone to serve him, he has children that are capable of taking care of him. The Eloi Banim Ktanim, he does not have any small children, young children who need care, then there is no reason to give him a special permission to marry right away, to remarry. It is prohibited from him to marry another woman, to remarry until three holidays have passed. But since it is difficult for him to remember his previous wife, and the sages didn't want him thinking of two women at the same time, they, under normal conditions, they require him to go through three holidays. And after the simcha of the three holidays, then, under normal conditions, he would not have such a strong memory of his first wife. However, this is only if there are no extenuating circumstances. However, someone that has not yet fulfilled the mitzvah to be fruitful and multiply. Or perhaps he has already fulfilled this mitzvah, but he has small children that need to be taken care of, and he cannot take care of these small children. Or he does not have anyone to serve him. This woman he has allowed to engage, to make Edison, that is for sure. In any case, he's allowed to do that. But furthermore, the lichmes miyat, and to bring it to the chuppah immediately. In other words, to do the step of nesuyin. However, but he still is not allowed to have relations with her, marital relations, until 30 days has passed. As the Gemara tells the story of Yosef HaKohen, who, after his wife passed away, went to his sister, meaning his previous sister-in-law, there in the cemetery, and told her right away that he wanted to marry her. And this was done immediately, although, as the Gemara says, they did not have relations until 30 days thereafter. The Kena Isha Shahayasa Vela, and so to a woman who was in mourning, Leiti Boyo Achleishim Yang. She also may not have, the prohibition is also on her from having relations with her husband until 30 days has passed. Although, we might allow them to marry previously. As a result of these same extenuating circumstances mentioned previously, such as there being no one to take care of his children, or nobody to provide for her children or something of the sort. Nevertheless, the marital relations are prohibited until the shleishim has passed. Halacha vav. Simchus mereyu shehaya chayev lifreya eisa miyat. Rejoicing between friends, which one was required to repay them immediately, as was the custom in those days, that one person would make a meal, a suda, with all of his friends, and it would be expected that those people whom he invited, each one would later on make a suda, make a meal, and invite his friends. So if he had already been invited, and he is expected immediately to return making another suda, another meal for them, and in the meantime he became a mourner, should he be required to repay it immediately, he is allowed to make it immediately after the Shiva has passed, after the 7 days of mourning has passed. However, if he has no obligation to pay back this meal, such as when they are inviting him, with the expectation that he is going to invite them later. In other words, it's not his obligation to make the meal, someone else is making it. Also, likonis la'at shleishim yeim. He is prohibited from participating until after the shleishim. However, halacha zayin b'med dvarim amurim, when does this apply that he is allowed to participate after the shleishim? The shar kol nesim. Any other relatives? Aval all these ba'al imay for his mother and father. Benkach u'benkach. Regardless of what, whether he is chayef, required to pay them back or not, la'ikonis l'simchas mereyus at shnei masar chaydesh. He may not enter such a rejoicing, such a meal, until 12 months has passed, should it be for his mother and father. And various qualifications are given, or rather, better put, various factors, which sometimes can be mitigating factors in this law, or have to do with whether it is a suda's mitzvah instead of just a suda of simcha. And so too, whether the person is eating there or just being present there, and so on. But certainly, should a case like this happen in Chas V'Sholem, then a rav should be consulted for the relevant psak din. Halacha ches. Al kol ha-meisim kula mutter leilach b'scheira la'achar shleishim. For all people who need to be mourned, anyone that passed away, one is allowed to go for business purposes, to go to do business after the shleishim has passed. That for the first 30 days he is not allowed to travel from place to place. But after 30 days has passed, then he is. Al-Avi va'al-Imei, however, for his mother and father, Ashi-Yigaro be'chaverav, va'yem-Rulei le'chimanu. For his mother and father, he is only prohibited from doing so until his friends scream at him, they complain, and they tell him, come with us. That now they say, it's time to come with us, enough mourning, then he is allowed to go with them. Halacha tes. Al-kol ha-meisim kulam, for all categories of the deceased who need to be mourned, rotza mamayit be'iske. Rotza eina mamayit. Should he want, he is allowed to work less, to take away from his work. And should he want, he does not have to. And this is certainly after the Shiva has passed. As the Rambam mentioned previously, that during Shiva he is not allowed to work. But after that time, it is his discretion whether or not he will add on to his work or not. However, Avi va'al imay, for his mother and father, mamayit be'iske. He should cut down on his work. And this is referring evidently to the period of shleishim. Even for the shleishim, he should decrease a little bit in work, as he did for as he did during the shiva for a regular case of mourning, not for his mother and father. Halacha yud, a heilech mi makom la makom, a person that goes from one place to another to do business, im yachol lamayt beiska yemayt. If he is able to minimize his work, to do less work than usual, and not do so much of a transaction to buy too much goods, he should decrease. Deem lav, if it is impossible for him to do so, because if he doesn't buy a sufficient amount there, he will not have enough to eat on the way back. Yikna tzarcha derech, he should do more business to be able to buy the necessities for the trip, udvarim sheyesh bem chayin nefesh, and anything else which is a physical necessity for the trip, he should do enough that he should be able to buy them as well. Halacha yud aleph. Misha yabayla tzolu ba'ir. A woman whose husband was hung in the city as a result of the accusation against him by the non-Jews. They hang him up and execute him and make it forbidden for him to be buried. So he is hanging there. Or Ishtet Sluva, a man whose wife was hung, or Aviv, the Imei, or his father or mother. Also the way Lishkin Ba'isa Ir Achi Yichla Basir. The mourner is forbidden from living in that entire city until the flesh has already disappeared, until it has disintegrated. That if he lives in the city, they will always shame him and point to him as the person whose father is hanging there in the city and not being buried. That there he is and he cannot mourn him because he is still there hanging in the city. However, the Imhayasa Ir Gedela to Antuchia, if it was such a large city as Antuchia, a large city in the north of Syria, Yeshua Lishkin Batsada Akher Sha'enim Sluvim Bay. He is allowed to dwell, to live on the other side of the city, away from where they are hung. But since the city is so large, people don't recognize and are not aware so much of what's happening on the other side of the city. Therefore, no one will come to shame him, since they are not even aware of there is something with which to shame him. Halacha Yudbeis. The Rambam now deals with the principle of Mitzvah Hayem Kukule, that if you have observed a few of the morning practices for the day, it is as if the whole day has been observed. Yom Shvi Miktsofei Kukule, a little bit of the seventh day is already considered like the whole day. And it counts for this side and for that side. It counts on the one hand as a full day of the Shiva, and on the other hand it counts as a day of the Shleishim. And therefore the halacha is, as the Rambam will explain in Perek Yud, that should the seventh day fall out on Erev Yom Tov, as the law is that the Yom Tov will be Mavato Shleishim, will nullify the observing the morning practices for the 30 days if he has observed part of the Shleishim at least before the Yom Tov has come in. So if the seventh day falls out Erev Yom Tov, it is the end of the Shiva. And on the other hand, we consider that day to be the beginning of Shleishim, and since he observed some of the Shleishim, some of the 30-day morning period, before the holiday enters, the holiday will come and nullify the Shleishim, he will not have to keep it. Ulafichach, therefore, immediately, after the morning of the seventh day, mutter lechadeis, velirchais, velazeis, sharadvorim b'yim shvi. He is allowed to wash his clothing and to wash his body and to do the other things even on the seventh day. There are other matters that the custom is, although that it is allowed, that one does not do so, as the Ramar mentions as far as the rechitza is concerned, washing the body. And the Shulchan Aruch or Rav should be consulted regarding these laws. The King Yem Shleishim Miktsasa Kukule, and so too the 30th day, a little bit of it is counted as the entire day, Umutr Lasapir Lagayit Bayem Shleishim. And he is allowed to cut his hair and to iron clothing on the 30th day as soon as the morning has come. The first period, that after daylight, after Netzachama, as soon as there's been a little bit of Netzachama, then the law is that the Shleishim is Nispatul. Here also there are some pratim as to when people come, would normally come to the Menachem Oval to comfort the mourner, and therefore again the Shulchan Aruch should be consulted. And now the final halach of the Perek, halacha Yud Gimel. Misha tachfu aveilav, the yichbid zayde, a person who had to mourn one time immediately after another, and therefore his hair became extremely long, that normally he would be allowed to cut his hair on the morning of the 30th day. But let's say it has been growing already for 29 days, and before he has a chance to cut his hair, he becomes more in mourning for someone else. And therefore he's going to have to count another 30. So his hair is going to become extremely long. The law is Meko Batar Balaidim Nisparayim. He is allowed to lighten up the hair a little bit. In other words, to take off some of the excess growth, but with a razor, with which he will not be able to cut too well. And not with scissors, as would be the normal way of cutting hair. He is allowed to wash his clothing, but only in water. Not in any of the cleaning materials, such as neser, a type of soap or lime, and not with sand. And he's allowed to wash his entire body, however, only with cold water. But not with hot water. And so to someone who had one person to mourn for after another. He came from a far off land doing business and didn't have a chance to cut his hair. He came from a house of captivity, from a prison camp where he had been captured. He just now came out of prison. Or he was excommunicated previously, and now was released from this. And while he was in a state of excommunication, he was not allowed to cut his hair. Or that he had taken an oath not to cut his hair. And he had come to the sages in order to be released from his vow, and he was released, and Nelson cut his hair. And everyone that is, anyone coming out from a state of impurity and now becoming pure, that as long as the person was impure, he probably couldn't find anyone to cut his hair. Who would want to cut his hair if they themselves would become impure? In any of these cases, they are allowed to cut their hair even in the days of mourning. In other words, the person first was in, came back from Medina Tayyam or from Beit HaShivya or any of these cases where they were unable to cut their hair. And they came back, and immediately before they had a chance to cut, they went into mourning. And then with Takfu Avil, there was another case, a second case of mourning. In these cases, they are allowed to cut their hair even in the second day of mourning period, even in the normal fashion. Since one case of mourning came immediately after the other, and they were unable to find free time, therefore they are allowed to cut their hair even in the mourning period. And this applies in such a case, even in the middle of Shiva, even in the middle of the first 7 days of mourning, in the second mourning period, they are allowed to cut their hair even normally with scissors and to wash the clothing even in a normal way, Neser or Chayil, and to do any of the other things that they were prevented from doing as a result of the mourning. Thank you for tuning into Rambam on the Line of Projects of Sichas in English. For more information or to sponsor a parak, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us tomorrow for Perek Shvi'i.